Flying Cool Tech 85, August 2305. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skudkon, your host for this edition of Flying Cool Tech. Yep, we're gonna have to rename this show. We're not doing a lot of technology. We're gonna talk some more about our media today, though. Oh, there's that wind again. Tried putting the windscreens on these binaural microphones, and they make them too bulky to wear. I don't know what the deal is with those. Like I said, we got these from sound professionals, and we bought 6 sets of microphones, and they were all supposed to come with windscreens, and none of them did. So we called them back, and they sent 1 set of windscreens. How about... Yeah, that smelled good, didn't it, little buddy? Good for them. It's trash day. And just tried them out on these binaural mics, and they're too darn big. I don't know what we're going to do. If any of you listeners has a good idea about a better way to do a windscreen, let me know. What the heck that was? So, we had a busy day at work yesterday. Never really even got a chance to sit in my office much. Had an interesting guest, or a number of guests yesterday, from Japan. Okay, good boy. Crossing Grinstead. That's it, little buddy. Yeah, Hiroshi, and I can't pronounce his last name, and 3 of his colleagues came to visit us yesterday. And Hiroshi is one of the founders of the DAISY Consortium. Now, if you're not familiar with the DAISY Consortium, listen to the ducks flying overhead. That's cool. We're right close to the reservoir here for the Louisville water. In fact, the water plant's just to my right across the street. And then the reservoir is up across Frankfort Avenue and over a couple blocks. And the ducks like to hang out around there. So the DAISY Consortium is a consortium, of course, consisting of libraries around the world that are trying to... Good boy. Come up with a better way to do media for blind consumers. You know, as you know right now, every country almost has a different format. Good boy. And it makes it difficult to do any kind of interlibrary loans. Because if you get a book from the UK, let's stop tying our shoe here, little buddy. Or my shoe, you don't have to tie yours. Makes it difficult or impossible to share books. Okay. But DAISY is a standard, a worldwide standard, that allows everyone to use the same format so that you can share and have consistent tools to work with these books. And like I say, Hiroshi was one of the founding members. So he wanted to come to APH for a couple of reasons. One, to look at our digital talking book production, our software and our techniques, because we've produced well over 1,000 books already. Good boy. And so we met with them for a while, and then at 10 o'clock they went on the standard tour, and were really fascinated with the museum. And then Steve Mullins, who you met when we did the tour of the APH studios, took them down and showed them the processes we use. And after that, we went to had a nice lunch. Went back and they met with Keith Creasy, who's the author of the Book Wizard software, for a couple of hours. And he showed them, gave them some demonstrations, and they asked a lot of questions. And then at 3, we went and met with Julia Myers, who is the director of resource services. There's a bicycle. And I really wish those windscreens would have worked out. It's a very cool, pleasant morning. We had a little cool front come through. I think it's only supposed to get up to 82 today, which is very welcome news. We might even try to go hit the Kentucky State Fair tonight. And if we can do, you can bet I'll be podcasting it. It's like Shelley says on Shelley's podcast. My life has turned into opportunities for podcasting. That's kind of sad, I know, but it's fun and interesting. Well, sort of interesting. So Julia and Keith and Tony and I met with them and talked. Julia talked to him primarily about this new NIMAS legislation, National Information Access, National Instructional Media Access Center, which will be housed at APH, and all the legislation associated with that. And I am going to get Julia on this show. She's agreed to do it. We just haven't coordinated. We're going on a trip together here in just a few weeks to Dallas for a meeting, in fact, and maybe that'll be an opportunity to get with her. Everybody gets so busy at work. So we talked about that legislation, what that is, basically. Pretty interesting stuff that you can get more information about at nimas.cast.org, nimas.cast.org. But it is legislation that states that when a state adopts a textbook, that the publisher is required to file, to provide a file in what's known as NEMIS format now, which is actually a subset of ANSI NISO Z3986, which is an evolution, or actually a part of DAISY. But the legislation requires that the publisher provide a file at the time, or in a timely manner, I think they say. There's a lot of things that still need to be ironed out as far as... Right there. Up, up, up. Good boy. A lot of things that need to be ironed out in the meanings, of course, like any legislation, and interpretations of some of the phrases. So they're supposed to provide a file that we put into this repository and make it available to what's known as authorized entities. So, hello. So one of these authorized entities, well, will be one, RFB&B, probably bookshare.org, and school districts. Now these, in a lot of cases, won't be ready to provide directly to the student. Some of them may. This is all things that need to be worked out. But some of these authorized entities will be providing value-added service to these files. One obvious value-added service would be a good, clean Braille file of it. Now, the legislation only applies currently to K through 12. I and many, many others really hope that this will expand into the college textbook area as well. So, it was really good seeing Hiroshi. I've known him for a couple of years. We spent more time together yesterday than ever, because I've seen him at some of the DAISY meetings. And hey, put that sniffing, little buddy. Good boy. So, needless to say, it was a really, really interesting day yesterday, but a busy one at the same time. I had kind of a neat experience last week. I'm going to be on TV here in a few months on a show on the Travel Channel called Made in America. At least, I think I'll be on there. I was interviewed by, I'm going to get this guy's name wrong. John, not Ratzenberger. It was funny, I was just listening to Republic of Avalon Radio, and they were talking about this guy. He was the postman, and man, I can't even think of the show. It was either Cheers or Friends. I'm not a TV person. But he interviewed me. Whoops, we found another branch that we missed yesterday, little buddy. Let's stop and get it. Just happened to have our trimmers with us again today. Sometimes I come to work with little flowers in my hair. People wonder about me. Yeah, this one's really low too. But, not to me now. Okay. There we go. Yeah, we could have got a little more on that one. So the show was at APH all day. I want to say, was it Thursday? And it was funny because one of the local news stations, WHAS, was filming them filming us. It was pretty funny. So he talked to me about the Bookport and some of the other projects that we had going on there. When they mic'd me up, they used a wireless mic that went inside your shirt. And apparently it's a good high quality one. I got the name of it from the guy, the sound man. But I don't remember what it was now. I'm going to try to get one of those though. Let's see, other happenings. There's one that needs to go too, little buddy. Not terribly bad, but hey. While we got the Clippers, might as well do it. I mentioned to you that Bert Boyer had a conference last week, the National Family Conference, and we recorded it all with iRivers. One of the things we realized though is that we do need a wireless mic to get audience participation, and we knew that going into it. But we got all those on a test web page. Oops, there's another one that needs to go. And a test RSS feed that I do believe APH is going to make available for anyone who's interested in subscribing. And these will be actually... there's 25 or 6 of them. Okay, good boy. And they'll actually be part of a larger information sharing audio feed where we'll be recording presentations and conferences. And there was some good stuff on there. You know, I wouldn't have minded attending. That was the weekend I was in Arkansas, though. But I think I might like listening to the audio a little better, even. You can, I mean, you don't get the interaction, obviously. The networking. But it sure is a great way to pick up the information. So we'll have sessions on there. I was talking with Fred Otto, one of the Tactographics project leaders. And, you know, he's planning on doing a training session on what makes good tactographics. And I'm sure many of the other project leaders and resource service people will be doing the same. I think we'll be putting Maria's webcasts on there. We can go. This guy's just sitting here. I'll wait. I have a bad habit of not...
That sign, Gillingham.
Good boy. Not using these traffic signals and just going by people waiting to get onto Franklin Avenue, but obviously I could be walking right at the end of the light cycle. Many, many other things. So, yeah, we'll have training sessions, presentations that we make, probably parts of the annual meeting like I mentioned to you one time, and I'll be doing some of my training on Bookport and other things, and I don't know whether I'll include those in this podcast or just make them exclusively on the other one. Still need to decide that. Now, what do you guys think? Are you... I know originally this was going to be all tech, and it sort of went away from that. But, I mean, from what I can tell from your emails and feedback, the sessions in the, quote, studio, where we do training and demonstrations are interesting to you too, probably actually more interesting than this rambling. But let us know about that. Drop us an email, blindcooltech@gmail.com. Heard about a neat podcast the other day. I listened to Podcast 411, which is a guy in Kansas City that interviews other podcasters. And he was interviewing a fellow that has a podcast called Five Questions. And he puts these up on his website and people call in with their answers. And it can be controversial or thought-provoking questions. Then he plays those audio comments. And I thought, well, that sounds neat. I'm going to have to subscribe to that. And on the topic of other podcasts, Jeff Bishop sent me a note yesterday. And someone on the Blindcast list found the NBC Nightly News as a podcast on MSNBC.com, and I was looking over there. They've actually got a whole list of good podcasts. I immediately subscribed to that one. Meet the Press did that one. Portions of the Today Show and a technology show. They had, I'm gonna guess, 10, maybe 12. So check those out, and that's definitely the answer to what I was looking for a, you know, a quick news feed, quick news fix, I should say. Okay, on to, well, wait a minute, let's see, I had some other little background things I was going to tell you. I had to laugh when, actually, we got pulled up to my mom and dad's house, Shelly and Marley and I. About 10 minutes later, Karen and her husband Jack pulled up. She lives in Dallas. And she says, she's the one that's been listening to my podcast. And we read y'all an email from her on the show. And she says, I would ask you what you've been up to, but I pretty well know already. And she's right. Hope I can get a chance to spend a little bit of time, or at least have dinner with her while I'm in Dallas next month. American Airlines just started direct flights from Louisville to Dallas. Wow, is that welcome? Because it seems kind of frustrating when you have to fly to Cincinnati, or even worse, Atlanta. And Cincinnati is not a bad airport, it's just that it's a 30-minute flight, you know, you spend more time fooling around and getting ready than you do while you're in the air. And I don't know, it just adds another hour or two onto the trip, you know. So these flights directly from Louisville to Dallas are welcome, and I got booked on one for the trip next month. Good boy. And it's only, I won't say an hour and a half flight. What else? Well, got all kinds of things, but we'll save them for another day. Got to get on to last night's Our Media experiences. Okay, last night I got home and I went to upload yesterday's show called Our Media Impressions, First Impressions. And I thought I had this process all down pat. It wasn't quite as convenient as I would have liked, but it was livable. It wasn't just like hitting a batch file and walking off. But I was prepared to accept the fact that life wasn't going to be that easy anymore, which wasn't a bad trade-off for the hosting and storage privileges that they provide at no charge. Jake just reminded me, he was looking around, one of the guests we had yesterday, she says, "Your dog must be pretty young." And I said, "Well, he really is. What makes you say that?" And she says, "Well, he's very inquisitive." And That's a good description for Jake. He's a character. I'll have to tell you sometime about his sucking. He likes to suck on a rag. But that's a story for another day. So last night I downloaded a program from there, and they suggest you use it when your files are over 10 megabytes. So I ran the program, and it crashed. I thought, oh man, I wonder if this has got something to do with it. Really, I think the only thing new I had on there was the Gizmo voice over IP application that I mentioned yesterday. Uninstalled that, same thing. I must have tried it 5 times, different file names, different locations. So I said, shoot. I just went and did it online from the website. And I didn't know whether it worked or not. It doesn't provide you as good a feedback as the upload tool. But this morning I got up and checked my page over there, and sure enough, it was there. So that was good. I really hope the tool is not broken in some way. Because it really is a little handier than the web page. I mentioned to you the tool actually extracts the ID3 info, tag info. One of the things I'm going to put up on our media, but not necessarily in this podcast, is is an interview actually in the Czech language that my dad's brother did with his dad back about 20 years ago, and I transferred it from tape, and it's not anything that you all would want to listen to, for one, because it's all in Czech and you can't understand a word of it. But it's really interesting because Uncle Tony was interviewing Didi, as we call him. I guess that's grandfather in Czech. And talking about how he came to America back in the early 1900s, why he left over there, and his experiences here. My dad did a transcript of it. It was really, really fascinating. It's interesting how things have changed over the last 100 years like that. And he has since died, of course. I think this interview was done back in the 70s, mid-70s maybe. And another one I'd like to put on there is an interview I did with Mom and Dad. Part of it I played on that Farm Sounds show where Dad was talking about the chicken houses, but after that we kept talking. And talking about, growing up in the 1930s. My mom is a Cajun, and she grew up in South Louisiana, and they were both talking about, my mom talking about picking cotton when she was little. Of course, no air conditioning back then, no electricity for that matter, at some points. We were kind of marveling at the fact that really my generation, I've always had indoor plumbing. And I think, oddly enough, as modern a society as we seem to have, I'm really the first generation to experience that luxury. Now, I know when we lived in Germany in the early 60s, we had shared accommodations. There was a restroom down the hall, a bathroom. But I've never had the outhouse experience on a daily basis. Obviously I've used outhouses. How did we get off on that subject? In fact, I always marveled when I was married, my wife had grown up in Arkansas, and she had an outhouse even when she was young. And I find that hard to fathom. Well, that's our next impressions of our media. Like I say, I'll probably be uploading those two interviews to that. Just to keep them. And that's the purpose of our media, is to preserve the digital media. Because it's too easy to lose it at home, or the storage that you have it on can go bad, and our media provides redundancy with the storage and access to it. Now, it's not to say formats won't change over the next 20 or 30 years. But it'll be interesting to, it'll be nice to have that and to observe the progress, especially of this Our Media project. Really interesting stuff. There's, oh, I can't begin to guess how many tera or petabytes of media are on that system. Really, really good stuff. Wanted to also, well, we're really jumping topics here as usual. This has been from a month or so ago. I was listening to Daryl Shandro's Blind Access Journal podcast, which is in the OPML files that I need to put back on the new location. I'll try to do that tonight. And he was talking about a voice over IP phone system they use at work, and I think we're probably using the same one here. What I don't know if he knows or not is that there's actually software that's accessible that lets you use your PC's microphone and sound card speakers to conduct your phone business. When we first installed it over here, I actually had to end up turning it in and going to the hard phone because it wasn't very reliable, but they've got that ironed out now. And it's a program called VTGo. It's available from Cisco. Good boy. Good morning. Let's go straight. Good boy. Kind of quiet here this morning, right? I don't have my phone with me today. I let Liz borrow it. Hers went out. And she actually uses the phone much more than I do. Turn the voice off for her. She has a way of being able to make that phone crash. I don't know how she does it.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Steve, what's up?
Trying to get some magazines out. How
about you? Trying to get back to work.
Yeah. Did it go pretty well yesterday?
Yeah, real well.
Good, good. He's really interested in the full text, full audio, the whole sphere, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So I kept getting crying too. It's a big picture, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really interested in that in Japan a lot. More than NLS is, apparently.
Yeah, evidently, yeah. Are they actually doing it yet, though? Is he actually doing it himself? Is he producing any of these?
I don't know. I didn't even ask him that. Well, you know the. Do you mind if I'm recording this, by the way?
Oh, sorry. It's okay. I guess not.
I can cut it out if you do.
It's okay. I'm just interrupting you in the middle of your cast.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, go giving some free prizes, are you? It's like, hurry on down, you know?
That's right.
Broadcasting, we're giving out keychains and t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, 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 it's W-A-P-H. Yeah. I didn't realize, and I should have, that they have taken over the maintenance of Z3986, the DAISY Consortium. You know, NLS was doing it. So at the end of the meeting yesterday, he offered, he says, is there anything we can do to that you guys are really interested in? So immediately 10 things popped into my head.
Yeah.
But I tried to not overwhelm him. But what I really am very interested in is this idea of these books being able to take user input, you know?
Yeah.
So that we can have workbooks and especially tests.
Mm-hmm.
High-stake tests like what Debbie and Barbara are doing.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, you know, with the intellectual property protection
mm-hmm.
on there, I think they would actually be adequate for what some of these high-stakes...
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I guess that's true. They would have that kind of
room. Yeah, that would be the perfect environment for that.
So you'd have a full version of a test, huh?
A DAISY SAT test. And you can answer the questions, and then it would either transmit them. Well, that's all to be worked out. But the way that you would interim all needs to be worked out, and then how it would store them or transmit them to wherever. But he was really interested in that too, and I think at least we got that moved up on the agenda a little bit.
I know he asked me a couple of times about Z39. I didn't put it together. I just thought he was.
That's a lot of work, man.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you used to carry the spec around with you like the Bible.
I can only imagine maintaining that thing. Impossible.
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah. Well, Keith said yesterday I hadn't talked to him for a while, so tell him today's the day because I had a few little problems. So.
Okay.
Warn him that.
I'm sure he'll be looking forward to it.
I bet he will.
Take care, Steve. Okay, so that's going to do it for today's show. I'm your host, Larry Scoopman. You have been listening to episode 85, Blind Cool Tech. We'd love to hear your audio comments, and we will even play them on the show if you don't mind. And you can either attach one as an MP3 file to our email, or you can call our audio comment line. And that number is 206-984-9203. The email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. Our web address temporarily now is aph.org/tech/bct.htm. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you next time. My Jakers.